Well, you know, we've been looking at a series entitled Mark My Words. Mark My Words means, that phrase means, give your attention to what I am saying because it's true and important. It means something that you say when you tell someone about something that you are certain will happen in the future. Mark my words. And finally, it means pay attention to what I say. And so we're looking at the book of Mark. And we're marking Mark's words. And we've discovered some tremendous things. In part one, we saw how Jesus healed a demon-possessed man during Sabbath school in the temple in Capernaum. And the people were awed that Christ had power even over the demons. And then he went home for lunch at Peter's house, Peter and Andrew's house, and Peter's mother-in-law was sick, and Jesus healed her. And you see what's incredible, this is Mark, the first chapter. Mark just, bam, started like that. When you look at Matthew, when you look at John, when you even look at Luke, you'll see that it starts with a scenario about Jesus' birth and this and that, but not Mark. Mark starts right out. We need to mark his words. He is trying to tell us something that fits perfectly with the society we're living in today. He then turned around that night and healed an entire town. Isn't that amazing? What a God we serve. I mean, he eliminated from anybody's mind any question about his power. That didn't change some of the attitudes of the religious leaders, did it? But he healed the whole town. He stayed up all night, and then we discovered this, that the Bible says a long while before the sun came up, after spending that 24-hour period ministering to the sick, the disabled, the lonely, the depressed, the addicted, and all the adjectives I could think of, he then got up a long while before morning to pray. And so we continue the series, the final part today. But before we do, I ask you to bow your heads with me as we pray. Father in heaven, what a God we serve, and Mark is trying to show us something. Help us not to miss it. How he was a young man just totally taken in by what you did for other people and how you did it. Because we need encouragement now ourselves, Lord. Open our eyes, open our hearts. Let the peace of heaven rest on this congregation. And now anoint my lips, Lord, from on high. Use me in spite of my failures, so that we can hear your voice, see your face, and go from here changed. So take charge now in Jesus' name. Amen. After a service, a firefighter came up to the pastor who was talking on the very topic I'm referring to today. And he said, "Pastor, I want to tell you something. When we arrive on a scene of a fire, we are presented people who are in shock and serious shape when we get there. But we discovered something. We discovered that if we quietly sit beside them and gently touch them as we spoke to them, the victims would suddenly calm down and be comforted by that simple touch." And I found this picture. That picture really touched my heart. And I thought, Lord, can I be that kind of person? Can my church be that kind of church? Because it turns out that my God is that kind of God. I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Mark the first chapter as we look at part 5. Is He really willing? Part 5, we're going to read verse 35 to set the stage, and then we're going to finish the chapter in verse 40. So Mark the first chapter. Boys and girls, open your Bibles. I want you to follow along with me. This is a beautiful story. And let's see if Jesus really is willing. And what it is that Mark wants us to mark as he brings to a conclusion the last verses of his first chapter. Okay, you got verse 35? All right, children, you got it? Boys and girls? Okay, there's no boys and girls in here. All right. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. And when they found him, they said to him, "Everybody is looking for you." But he said to them, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all of Galilee and casting out demons. Verse 40. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can heal me." Well, the first thing that I want to look at here is leprosy. Here's what The Desire of Ages, that beautiful book on the life of Christ, has to say. Of all diseases known in the East, leprosy was the most dreaded. It's incurable and contagious character, and its horrible effect upon its victims fill the bravest with fear. Among the Jews, it was regarded as judgment on account of sin. Hence, it was called the stroke or the finger of God. Deep-rooted, ineradicable, deadly. It was looked upon as a symbol of sin. Now, I'm going to show you something here, folks. I had a little hesitation, but I'll try anyway. I mean, I want you to think about the leper who came up to Jesus. I want you to understand that he had what's called the most dreaded disease. I want you to know it's incurable and it's contagious. Therefore, they are ordered to stay away from humanity of all sorts except people like themselves. The horrible effects include the fact that your face and your fingers, your nose falls off, rots away. You have putrefying sores. And by the way, that's straight out of Isaiah. That's what Isaiah in his very first chapter talked about sin. It was considered a judgment of God. Now, I want you to imagine, if you would, and see the privilege of our church existence, that you're falling apart, you're oozing to death, you're separated from family and friends, you can't go near anybody who's normal, you're only with other people like yourself, and on top of it, they taught you that this is judgment upon you from God Himself because of your sinfulness. Utter hopeless. And so check this out. I'll show you. These are real pictures. I tried to tone it down because of the children. But I thought what conveyed it so nicely was the feet. You can see the sores on the bottom of the feet. And below is an armadillo. And to the right of the armadillo is leprosy on the armadillo's feet. And above that is the skeleton of a leopard who passed away. And if you notice, he has no nose. Hopeless. All alone. God has cursed you for your sins. And don't you come near us again or we'll stone you. You saw the Ten Commandments. You saw how they tried to stone Charlton Heston carrying his sister and mother who were lepers, threw stones at them. They didn't care if it hurt them. This is why I love my God so much. And then I want you to look at the obstacles. Let's look at the obstacles a second. For the leper to come to Jesus, put yourself in the colony sitting next to this guy who's completely hopeless, but he's hearing these stories about a man named Jesus. And every time he hears another story, the one thing that he notices is hope wells up in his heart. And so it says, debarred as he was from contact with his fellow man, that includes family, friends, how could he present himself to the healer, Jesus? And he questioned if Christ would heal him. Would he stoop to notice one believed to be suffering under the judgment of God? Would he not, like the Pharisees, the religious leaders, and the physicians, the ones appointed to help people who are physically sick, pronounce a curse upon you the way they had and warn you, get out of here, away from us? He was obliged to publish his own calamity, to rent his garments and sound the alarm, warning all to flee from his contaminating presence. Unclean, unclean. By the way, I got to tell you that ever since I read this story in the Bible and then from The Desire of Ages, every time it brings tears to my eyes. What a God we serve. The Spirit of God moved on this one lone leopard whose heart was being stirred by a force he didn't recognize or understand. And you see, he heard all the rumors about Jesus. And imagine if no one told the story. And so he determined to go to Jesus in spite of all these obstacles and the curse of leprosy itself. And he went to Jesus. And when he saw him in the distance, he didn't care about those who were around him. Not because he was unfeeling to the law that confined him, but because now all he could see was that man that he heard was different from everybody else. And so he came. And so number three, let's look at the approach. In Mark, it says, imploring him, kneeling down to him. In Matthew, the same story says, a leper came and worshipped him. And Luke tells the same story and says, he fell on his face and implored him. You know, in Mark, it says imploring him. That's the word my New King James uses. The Greek word is parakleo. Para means close and kleko means call out. In fact, the Greek word for the Holy Spirit is parakletos. One who draws near. Para, draws near. Parakleo, call out, to draw one near. He implored him. He knelt down at Jesus' feet. In Matthew, it says it worshipped him. I love this because that Greek word is prosproneo. It means to kiss like a dog licking the hand of a master. And I'm going, wow, Lord, this guy humbled himself. No reserve when it came to Jesus by this leopard. You know, I'm not done yet, but I'm thinking maybe we should pray that all of us have a problem like leprosy. Bring us closer to Jesus. Allow us to humble ourselves more readily. And then in Luke it says he fell on his face and implored him. And that Greek word is deomai, which means to beg as binding oneself. He fell at the feet of Jesus and he called out with all of his desperation that he could. And notice what he said. He said, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Folks, where did he get faith like that? You remember, he just came from the leopard colony. He came from where there's no newspapers, internet, texting, telephones. But he heard about this man. And the more he heard, the more hope sprang up in his heart. The Spirit of God moved upon him. And he came. And he humbled himself. And he said, I know you can do this if you're willing. And it didn't. The if here, this is amazing. You know, Satan used if too. He said, if you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Well, we know that was a statement of doubt. This is not a statement of doubt. He's saying, I know you can do this. What I don't know is whether you will because of my condition, who I am, and what I've done. The barriers, the obstacles. If you're willing, you can make me clean. You know, the Father who met Jesus coming off the mountain of Transfiguration, he said, if you can do anything, heal my son. And Jesus said, if you have belief, anything can happen. I believe, help my unbelief, the man answered, and Jesus healed his son. This man came and he didn't say, if you can do anything. He said, if you are willing, thelo in the Greek, thelo, if you're willing, if you desire, you can make me clean. I have no doubt about it. And folks, I want you to pick up this little nuance as we head to the conclusion here. The nuance. As he got closer to Jesus, his faith strengthened stronger. No, his faith grew stronger. When we approach Jesus on a regular basis, our faith grows stronger. Where did he get the faith to say to him, if you're willing, you can heal me? Because he kept coming near, near. Parakaleo, he called out near. He came near and wanted Jesus to come near. Jesus recognized that, understood it, reinforced that faith he had. And out of his mouth comes this beautiful statement. I thought, Lord, I want to say that. You can do this, Lord. By the way, I got to tell you, I know some people think, some, that this idea of paying off our mortgage isn't possible. I have the same. God has given me, the more I pray about it and think about it, God has given me a confidence that He's going to do it. Somehow, I don't know how. And so the leopard said, if you are willing, you can heal me. And then comes in conclusion here, then comes the reply. What did Jesus say to this leopard? And by the way, let's look at the scene here. Jesus was teaching. Yes, he was out by the lakeside. He was in the country. The leopard was sensitive enough to know he couldn't enter any city where Jesus would be preaching. He had to find him on the outskirts somewhere. He discovered him by the lake. He came up to him, but as he got closer, people surrounding Jesus, and you've read your Bible, people always surrounded Jesus. After he did things like heal the demon-possessed man in the temple in Capernaum, it says his fame went out just like that. And then he healed the whole town. Listen, telephone, telegraph, tell an Adventist. And so he comes because he heard about Jesus. And the closer he got, the stronger his faith was. And now he's waiting for the pronouncement. And by the way, just let me go back here. This was the best picture I could find. This is what Luke said. He fell on his face. He didn't touch Jesus. He couldn't touch Jesus. He refused, no matter what Jesus said to him, he refused to contaminate Jesus, not knowing that no one can contaminate Jesus. Oh, that should have been a big amen, not a little one. And so Jesus looked at that man. He leaned over and came near, and Luke, Matthew and Mark says he touched him and said, I am willing, be clean. I am willing, be clean. For you see, the theology learned that you're cursed by God is false. I am the Son of God. I've come to show the character of God. And whoever comes close to me, I am willing. It doesn't matter what you're facing, what you're dealing with. Folks, I know in my own life, there's things in my character that can't be in heaven. And how God's going to work it out, I don't know. But I'm going to let Him do it. I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to give up. And I'm not going back to the world. Not going to do it. All three said the same thing. Touched him. Jesus reached out and touched him. Do you understand? The disciples went, hur! And all the people went, and the religious leaders, he always had spies. Wherever Jesus was, there were spies. They went, he touched him. He's contaminated now. I'm telling the priest, and we'll have him exiled out in the country. No one can touch him now. And Jesus reached out and touched him. That's like why I love that picture in the internet of the fireman kissing that lady. A touch. Let's be an appropriate touching church. Let's let people know that we care about them, that we can put our hand on their hand, that we can put our hand on their shoulders. And if appropriate, in the right way, we can hug people who are hurting. People who are feeling so condemned and hopeless. And I'm sure there's somebody here today that feels that way. I got a quote for you in a second here. Is he willing? Yes, He's willing. He said, I will be thou clean. And can you imagine that leper laying in a crumple at His feet? Jesus touched his face and lifted him up. The leper was scared only because Jesus touched him. And suddenly he noticed, my fingers are back. My nose is back. Oh, thank you, thank you. I can't imagine what it was like. I can't imagine. And it brings tears to my eyes. And so, it says he touched him, I am willing, be thou clean. Why did Jesus do that, folks? Why did he apparently break the rules? Because the Bible in Mark, not in Luke, not in Matthew, said that Jesus was moved with what? Compassion. And now one of my favorites. The Greek verb splanknizomai. It means to have the bowels, the very depth of him yearn for this man to be whole and to know about his Father in heaven. You know, he did that, reached out and touched him. He wanted him to know that the Father in heaven, his Father, was the greatest thing since sliced bread. So from the very depths, he thought, here's my chance. He invited me to draw near. He came to me in spite of circumstances. He called out to me, and now I'm going to answer him and show him the real character of God. It's forgiving and merciful and gracious and long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Yes, praise God. Praise God. That's our God. Yearn. To have the bowels yearn. Meaning feel sympathy to pity. But to pity that move to action. Look at this quote from the Desire of Ages, page 259. This is going back, by the way, to Capernaum. This is going back into the synagogue in Capernaum where the demon-possessed man. Look what it says about the demon-possessed man. Every man is free to choose what power he will have to rule over him. None have fallen so low. Here it is. None. None are so vile, but that they can find deliverance in Jesus. And that's why when they walk through the door and they're vile, and you know they're vile, the way they look, the way they smell, the way they act, the way they dress. Yep. We are to greet them the way Jesus greeted the leper, with hope and help and encouragement. And so, my friends, Jesus reached out and just didn't say, you're healed, now get out of here. He touched him first, then he cleansed him, because nothing defiles our God. A missionary named Doug Nichols in 1967 went to India on a mission trip. But in the trip or during the trip, he was sidelined when he developed tuberculosis. He was forced to stay in a sanitarium and he was there for several months. He said he didn't speak the language yet, but he tried to give Christian literature written in their own language to patients and doctors and nurses, but everyone politely refused. He sensed many weren't happy about the rich American. To them, all Americans are rich. being free in a government-run sanitarium. A few nights, he woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning coughing. One morning during my coughing spell, I noticed one of the older, sicker patients across the aisle trying to get out of bed. He would sit on the edge of the bed and try to stand, but in weakness would fall back onto the bed. He didn't understand what he was trying to do. He finally fell back into bed exhausted, and he heard the man crying softly. The next morning, I realized what the man was trying to do. He had been trying to get up and walk to the bathroom. The stench in the ward was awful. Other patients yelled insults at the man. Angry nurses moved him roughly from side to side as they cleaned him. And one nurse even slapped him. The old man curled into a ball and wept openly. The next night he wrote, I woke up again coughing. I noticed the man across the aisle sitting up again to try to stand. Like the night before, he fell back whimpering. I don't like bad smells. I didn't want to become involved, but I got out of bed, went to him. When I touched his shoulders, his eyes opened wide with fear. I smiled. I put my arms under him and picked him up. He was very light due to his old age and advanced TB. I carried him to the bathroom, which was filthy, small room with a hole in the floor. I just stood behind him with my arms under his armpits so he could take care of himself. And after he finished, I picked him up and carried him back to bed. As I laid him down, he kissed me on my cheek, smiled, and said something I couldn't understand. The next morning, another patient woke me and handed me a steaming cup of tea. He motioned with his hand that he wanted a track. As the sun arose, other patients approached and indicated they also wanted the booklets. Throughout the day, nurses, interns, and doctors asked for literature. Now that story touched me because that's what my Savior did for me. And I want to do it for others when I'm called upon. And that's what I want for my church. Father, I want to thank you for being the kind of God you are. And I clearly see Mark was trying to tell us something we had no clue. You know, I read through my Bible and sometimes I read that first chapter, but something bothered me. It's different from Luke and Matthew and John. And it's because Mark wants us to know what kind of God we really serve, a miracle-working God that overlooks our frailties, our faults, our failures. So help us now, Lord, to make a decision before we leave this beautiful sanctuary that we would call out to you. We would come closer to you. So that as we do, you will strengthen our faith. And then we can tell others about what you did for us. And they too will find help. Let no one here be discouraged, Lord. And please move on hearts and minds who have not been baptized, who have not made a decision for Jesus to make that decision. We want to put our arms around them, encourage them, teach them and prepare them so they can join the army we belong to and our numbers, your numbers, would swell. So blessed to this end and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.